This program is sponsored by Love Radio Network.
Get ready to kick up some dirt and mud because it's time for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl. SDORC is here to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. So whether it's bikes, buggies, trucks, or trikes, San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio brings you the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles and protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. Because together, everyone achieves more. Now, here is your host, Dave Stahl.
All right, folks, welcome to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1. AM 1170.
The answer.
This hour is brought to you by Southwest Point of Sale. If you've got a business where you have a cashier and you want to eliminate having an employee at that particular register, well, check out Southwest Point of Sale. Call them at 800-540-2149. They'll come to your facility, take a look, and if it works, guess what? You can eliminate one employee. Do like the big boys do, Walmart, Home Depot, and Costco. And then you get 7-day, 24-hour-a-day service. If anything goes wrong. Also, we want to thank Alpha Site Logistics for all their support of SDORC Dirt Radio. Serving the Imperial Valley for over 20 years, they offer portable toilets, hand wash stations, hand wash trailers, shade trailers, dumpsters, and a whole lot more. Give them a call at 760-352-8383, or you can go to Facebook at facebook.com/Alpha Logistics. How are we doing, kids?
Doing fantastic. Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday to you and all of the other little four-wheelers out there.
And two-wheelers.
And two-wheelers, because there's a lot. The weather's perfect. I guess the desert must be beautiful today.
Oh, it's absolutely stunning this weekend. You couldn't have asked for better weather out
there. Did you go out?
No, unfortunately. My first week back at work, I spent this weekend recovering at home.
You work hard.
Yeah. But yesterday was a big day out in Glamis. Red Bull Racing was out in Glamis. They had the side-by-side race set up.
They had a race in Glamis across the sand dunes.
Yeah.
And where did it start and finish?
So they started near Gecko. The tech inspection was right at the Vendor Flats. And then you headed over to, I'm sorry, not Gecko, Oldsmobile. You headed over to Oldsmobile. And then you went out one of the valleys from Oldsmobile. And basically how they had it set up was they gave you an idea of where you needed to go for it. And then every so often they had like flyer flags. Mm. But you have to be able to navigate your way through the desert, through these.
So they say, okay, we're going to Oldsmobile. Find your any way you can get there. Find your way there.
Kind of.
And go fast.
Kind of. They kind of had a route a little bit because they had flyer flags. Every so often they'd have Red Bull flags or sponsor flag.
Yeah.
You know, which is those big, you know, sales
those flappy things.
The big flappy
like the big
flyer
feather,
flags. Yeah.
Like
the big.
Like a 10-foot feather.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you just, you know, you had to navigate through the.
Was
dunes.
This the first time they've done this?
You know, I don't know if it's
I'd
been
never
done
heard
in
of
a
it.
In a. Aside from the horsepower wars, and the horsepower wars is basically sand drags, and it's the drag strip.
Yeah, I'd never heard of this before.
Yeah, so I can't.
That's a neat way to have a competition, because a lot of people have side-by-sides. And
it wasn't easy.
Some of them want to go.
I've seen a post where somebody rolled three times.
Oh, yeah. So. You're powering through, and you hit those razorbacks at a certain way, and you just launch.
Especially in those
and,
side-by-sides.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't know how to read the sand dunes, it could be really hazardous.
Short wheelbase, you know, short wheelbase, narrow.
Audrey's husband is fantastic at reading the dunes. I think you're pretty good at it, too, Audrey.
Yeah.
And Cam, those guys... They know how to read the dunes, and it looks like you could just go over, and they turn at the top, and you look, when you get there, you're like, oh, I'm glad I didn't go straight over.
Oh,
like
no, you went, never want to go straight over. Yeah. You never hit a sand dune going straight over.
Unless,
you always come at it as an angle, one wheel over, and you hit it diagonally. Yeah. Yeah, and then, yeah, if you're jumping for air in that way, you better be careful on how you're hitting it, too.
The bottom comes fast, yeah.
Yeah.
You got to learn how to. It's a whole different animal from other types of off-road rides.
And just because it's sand doesn't mean.
Yeah. You think sand is soft, but it can hurt.
It can hurt.
People get hurt all the time.
I've got a couple permanent scars.
Oh.
Indentations.
Show and tell.
Yeah, show and tell. Yeah. But speaking of sand dunes.
Oh, I thought you were going to say speaking of show and tell.
No.
I want to see.
I want to see.
They
Brendan can't see. By the way, congratulations.
Yes,
to
congratulations.
Brendan.
Thank you guys so much.
Newly married. He's barely. Yes. He's barely awake. You know, yeah.
No. Oh well. No. It's barely been a week, is what you meant to say.
Oh no. That's you're living there. You're snoring like crazy.
No. 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 Luckily, she deals with my snoring enough. So.
God, I don't think.
Well, congratulations, yes, congratulations and good luck to you. Thanks for keeping this radio show going smoothly.
So, oh, thank you so much, guys.
So yesterday was your 1 week anniversary.
That's correct. Yeah.
And then next week will be your second week, and then after that, all the hell with it.
How yeah, right. You know how we celebrated with yesterday?
I don't know. I think we. Is this is a family station?
No worries. This is good. 2 dozen cookies.
You ate them all?
No, I ate 12. She ate 12.
What kind of cookies were
they? They were mini chocolate chip cookies.
Did you make them or did you buy them?
We made them from scratch.
Yeah.
And were they tasty?
Yeah, that were the best cookies I've ever had in my entire life.
Notice you didn't bring any in to share.
No, we ate it all.
After I got drunk on wine, sorry. High-end chocolate today.
Oh, I know. I can't wait to try them out. So thank you again for that.
Yeah, so you better not have that package open till you get home.
No promises.
Yeah, but you're like a mouse.
I am. Like, I'll just sneakily.
Yeah, I know. You're like a mouse. You can't leave things alone.
But no, I can't. Yeah.
I know. Well, congratulations. Hope to see you guys hit the 50 mark.
I hope so, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So back to the desert.
50 days.
What did he say?
50 days.
50 days. What a pain. No.
Back to the desert.
I have more faith in you.
I do, too.
Yeah, back to the desert. I was going to go from a transition from Glamis into Oceano Dunes. Friends of Oceano Dunes. And
there's Glamis is doing pretty well now. We don't have threats out there the way other areas may have threats.
Yeah, it's just crossing.
20
well,
years ago,
they beat on them long enough, so now they're going to give them a break.
20 years ago, they had a big lawsuit that tried to close the whole place over the Pearson's Milk Veg, and that caused 20 years of litigation, maybe 18 years. It was a lot of trouble.
I wonder how much money that was spent.
I want to say
that. I could work that out because we paid a lot of money into
you could
that.
Quit work if you had that money.
I'd take a year sabbatical.
More than that.
Ride my motorcycle.
You know it's thousands and thousands and thousands.
Well, there was five organizations supporting David Hubbard, and each one was giving him $4,500 a month.
See, that's what I'm saying.
$4,500 a month times five. Per
times
month,
20 years,
$25,000.
We didn't pay him that much the whole time.
Well,
you know, the lawsuit would go to a certain point, and then there wouldn't be any more. But we gave him a lot of money,
right?
Yeah, but he performed, and we wouldn't have.
We did
Glamis.
Pretty good. Yeah.
We wouldn't have Glamis. We won Glamis.
Right.
He was
still
worth every penny.
Fight.
Yeah,
still fighting the fight.
Yeah,
Glamis is doing good. We're watching it, but we don't have active problems. But Oceano Dunes, boy, do we have problems out there, and I don't know if they're going to be. Terminal or not, it's really drama right now.
Well, what happens if they get somebody in the board or somebody in California government that likes off-roading? Or will they just never hire anybody that does?
Well, they won't get voted in because the Sierra Club will turn against them.
I got you.
And they'll bring their voting block, and the other liberal types will beat them back.
Sierra Club needs to change their name because it's very...
It sounds
very
nice.
Very misleading.
And they're... Not as nice as
don't
they
you agree
be.
It's misleading?
Yeah.
I agree. And, you know, a lot of people think they're a hiking club. It's just a social club.
Right.
But they're a very powerful political organization. And they have some very sort of extreme views on some of the social topics.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of difficult.
Wow.
So the air pollution people have been giving Oceano Dunes a hard time. In fact, the air pollution people, the California Coastal Commission, and the fish and wildlife people. So there's three different government agencies that have been hard on it. The air pollution people have brought an order to them. So what they've been doing is monitoring the dust that comes out of the off-road area.
Mm-hmm.
And they are claiming that it is both, there's a lot of dust and that the dust is toxic. So when we say toxic, you think, well, cyanide, you eat it and you're going to fall over dead. But the toxicity of this dust is, if you're exposed to a significant amount of it every day for 40 years, your chance of getting lung cancer goes up by 20%.
Oh, my goodness. We better just shovel all that stuff.
So when you talk about toxicity, like there's a huge chasm of difference between extremely toxic and not that toxic. And we're talking about not that toxic. So So the air pollution people brought to state parks what they called a stipulated order of abatement. And abatement means to reduce, right? So they ordered state parks to reduce the dust that's going off of the park. And state parks was forced to sign and make an agreement with them. So they've been working on it. They're closing areas. They're putting up fences. They're doing all kind of problems. Okay, is it?
Ignore it. It's still green. As long as it's still green, we can just keep talking.
Okay.
You don't need to do commercials.
No.
Need to do anything.
Well, that's the station commercials, not the shows.
No,
so we'll be fine.
It's the show's commercials. But as long as it's green, there's... I just guess we just keep talking. Right? By the way, Judy's downstairs since you won't look at your phone.
God, I'm busy over here.
Gets married and he's fought. Yeah, you're eating.
I'm not.
Yes, you are. It's all dribbling down your chin. Look at that. Jeez Louise. All right, let's take a quick break. We come back with a whole lot. That's got to be a different color. It can't be green. It's got to be, yeah. Get, oh, there we go. You're listening to STORC.
For those who don't know, there's a light in there now that we just installed, and he's taking advantage of this light.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Because
it's brand new. We haven't done it before.
We're not allowed to use a clock right here on STORC Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Folks, welcome back to STORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment brought to you by Wayne Miller Tire.
Wayne Miller Mobile Tire out in Santee. He's here for any of your automotive needs. You need your brakes done. You need your new tires. You're stuck on the side of the road. He's got that work truck to come out and get you fixed up, get you back on the road safe and sound again. Give him a call at 619-596-2800.
All right, so back to the wonderful world of dirt and sand.
Yes.
So continue on there, my friend.
Okay, yeah. So we were talking about Oceano Dunes and their stipulated order of abatement. And by the way, Oceano Dunes is an off-road park in Central California on the coast. It's on the beach. You can drive on the beach. And then the onshore wind is very strong there. And it has blown sand inland, like more than a mile. And there's a whole area of sand dunes that people like to recreate on. And so there's a lot of trouble. People don't like us off-roading there, and they're trying to find ways to stop it. And so the air pollution people have been, when I say air pollution people, I mean the California Air Resources Board, San Luis Obispo chapter. Those people have been monitoring dust, and they're saying that there is dust and that it's toxic. It's not toxic in the way that we think of toxic, like you won't fall over, but after a long time you've been breathing it, you might have some problems.
Yeah, specifically silica dust.
The silica dust is what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. So they've created a stipulated order of abatement that state parks has to follow, and they're doing a variety of things, tasks, to reduce the dust. They're planting plants, they're putting up fences, they're closing areas. We don't like any of that because it reduces the areas that we can ride in. So UCSD, right next to UCSD is the Scripps Institute of Oceanography. It is a graduate school for ocean studies. So once you get your bachelor's degree, you can go to, you can continue your education and go to Scripps. So Scripps has done a study of the dust there, completely independent of the Air Resources Board study, and they have come up with a completely different conclusion. They say, while there is dust, it's not toxic. It's not silica dust. It's just beach dust. Sand. It's just beach sand that's blown in, like you would kind of think. It's just, you know, the tide goes out, the sand is on the beach, and the wind blows it inland. And the way the geography there is, there's mountains on either side that are sort of at an angle that make a funnel, and the onshore wind gets funneled into this area, and it's really strong right there.
I've been there. The natural formations of the dunes that's happened throughout the last, you know,
millions of years.
Yeah.
And suddenly, you know, it's the off-roader's fault that the dust is out there.
And one of the things that we really hate about this abatement, as you mentioned, is all the stuff that they do to fix the abatement, right? So one of the issues out there is the snowy plover, the endangered snowy plover, right?
Yeah.
But this order of abatement means that they have to bring fencing in. They have to bring in bales of hay.
Yeah, they got to put hay bales out there to try to stop. And they're bringing what they call invasive species, which is another problem.
Well, they plant the grass. I mean, look at Oregon dunes with the grass and see how much it took over the Oregon dunes and how much now they have to go in and try and stop the grass from spreading. So they're planting an invasive grass species. Then they bring in the bales of hay, which have rodents in them. The rodents eat the snowy plover eggs and live in the grass. So they're creating a better environment that's conducive to the rodents, for the rodents
but
to breed better.
But what do they say when people bring this up to them?
Well, they're in charge. We're not in charge. We can bring it up, but they'll sit there and they'll nod their head and then they'll go away and they'll do it, whatever they want.
So
it can be frustrating. So
I would almost go out there and pick up all the dead, you know, snowy clovers and take them to the next meeting in a box and just dump them on their desk and say,
"Oh my God,
by the way, these are yours.
Thanks for protecting them.
Yeah.
There's only 13 left now.
Here's a video of the rats eating. And I bet they'll eat the snowy,
snowy plover.
Yeah. They'll eat two birds, the babies. The snowy
plover and the least tern.
Yeah.
Snowy plover and the least tern. They're both endangered. And I read the thing about them. There's only like a few hundred of each bird left in the world. There's like less than 1,000 of them. And you know what's funny?
Well, not for the snowy plovers, because the snowy plovers are all up and down California coast.
One of those, but like little tiny pockets. What's really interesting is that the area that has the most of them is Oceano Dunes. And it's because of all the off-road vehicle money that goes into protecting them and doing all the different activities. So we talked about the stipulated order of abatement and all the stuff they're doing to limit off-roading. So I'm a CORVA director, California Off-Road Vehicle Association, and we had some of the directors had a meeting with Armando Quintero and Liz McGurkin. So Quintero is the head of California State Parks, and Liz is the legal counsel. So six of us from CORVA, we went on a Zoom call, and we all talked, and we asked them questions, and we told them what we thought. And we think this stipulated order of abatement is not a good thing. We want state parks to back out of it because we don't think...
What'd they say?
Liz got really nervous when we said that. Liz, the legal counsel, she thinks they could get in trouble.
Who could?
State parks. So Quintero, the head of state parks, he is there because of the good graces of the governor. So he's not like an employee, like the way I'm an employee at my job. So Quintero, he cares. I don't think he is opposing off-roading. He talked a little bit about himself. He says he's an avid mountain biker, and that people in his family ride dirt bikes, and he is not opposed to off-roading. But don't forget, he's trapped inside a government agency. Even though he's in charge of it, he has people above him. He has to go by the natural resources people and the governor. So if he pisses off the governor, he gets pulled out of the job and they find somebody, you know, okay, who from the Sierra Club can we put in here?
Right.
So he's not a bad guy. Within his bureaucracy, he's doing pretty good. But I don't think he can do enough. And CORVA is talking about maybe doing a lawsuit asking state parks, forcing state parks to abandon the stipulated order of abatement based on a false premise that the air pollution people's their findings of dust are incorrect. And we can prove that by the Scripps study. With the Scripps Institute of Oceanography, that's a very highly credible organization. Sure, they're highly credible.
Oh, yeah.
So this is like a gift to us, having Scripps make a study. So we want to say that, well, with this Scripps study, we think you backed into an agreement with false information and that you're justified in getting out of it. And we don't think state parks can just pull themselves out that way. But I'm not sure. It might be possible that state parks people could go to the governor's office and just say, "Hey, we feel like we've been messed with."
Whether or not anybody in state parks actually has the gall to stand up and do that is a whole nother.
I mean, it's hard. Yeah. So it may require a lawsuit to force this to happen.
Are you allowed to videotape these Zoom meetings?
I don't know. I don't even know how.
You take them your phone and you go video.
I'm using my phone.
Well, yeah, I believe so.
I don't do it on my computer.
Well, because you know what I'm saying? This is ammunition when they make statements that are either not true or based on false information. Because if you can't videotape this stuff, then it's just your word against them. You know, when you say go do a lawsuit.
Well,
what you need to do is you need to Zoom it on your computer and then film it with your phone.
Okay.
Just a good idea.
And I'm not ready to throw these state parks people under the bus yet.
No. You just need ammunition in your quiver.
I don't think they have it out for us. I think other people have it out for us. And like this guy, I think he's a good guy. I think he wants to manage well. And he even said it's kind of unfortunate that he got this job right when Oceana Dunes was at the brink. Right. So there's been a lot of work coming up in the recent years to bring us to this point, all the air pollution people and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. And the air pollution problem is a problem, but it's not as bad of a problem as the Coastal Commission problem, which is the one that says it's just going to end in two and a half years.
Due to camping and off-roading.
No, the air pollution people are just going after dust. The Coastal Commission have gathered up all the stuff and saying, given everything out there, the species, the dust, some crazy off-roaders, they're gathering everything up and saying, we don't think this is an appropriate activity for this area anymore. And we're not going to give the permit. Mm-hmm. When I first saw that they're talking about renewing the permit by the Coastal Commission, I was like, oh my God, how did this come out of left field? Because they hadn't had a permit renewal in like 20 something years. Like what caused it right now?
The
fish and wildlife problems were solved. The air pollution stuff is being solved. Now it's not being solved to our satisfaction, but it's not saying to close the place. It's saying you have to do stuff. Mm-hmm. You have to close this. You have to put these bales here. You have to put these sand fences there, wind fences. So those two didn't really end it. So the Coastal Commission said, okay, we'll do it. And I really believe the Sierra Club is behind this, some of them and some of their friends. I think the CBD and the Sierra Club really have a lot of political pull, and they're at the highest levels. They're in these quiet backdoor meetings, and they're saying, we need to stop off-roading in this place. What can we do?
All right, so we have a lot more, so don't touch those dials, folks. This is SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back. This is SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment is brought to you by our good friends at PRMI Mortgage, Chris Wiley, where nobody does it better when it comes to mortgage.
Chris Wiley, Primary Residential Mortgage, Inc. He's here for any of your home loan needs. Give him a call at 619-722-1303.
And make sure you tell him we sent you because he's a true off-roader. Also, San Diego Off-Road Magazine, SSORM.com. You can go to that website. You can subscribe to the periodical, and you can read all kinds of things that are going on out in the deserts and the mountains. Steve and Sherry have been putting this together since the 80s, and they're doing it strictly for the off-road community. You can sell your equipment, buy equipment. You can find out what's going on legislatively by reading Ed Stoven's articles that appear periodically when news... Every month when news demands it. So check them out at SSORM.com. All right, so, you know, we've been... Gosh, if it wasn't for, all of the craziness going on off-road, we wouldn't even have a radio show.
Well, there's that.
Yeah, then when I'd stop and think about it.
I'd be out riding instead of talking. Yeah. Audrey would be out driving her Jeep around.
Or sleeping.
Or riding, yeah.
Or riding my three-wheeler. Or
sleeping. Well, right now my life consists of sleeping, it seems like. I need to do a shout-out to Riggs and Brews and Corva. Right now is over at the Duck Brewing Company in Miramar, San Diego. I think they're there until 2 today. They have a raffle.
Oh, you'll
it's only
make
12:30.
You'll make it
there in the last half an hour. They've got some vendors set up out there.
Pounce
they're doing
and brews.
Toys for tots, and yeah, so it's over at Duck. I think it's Duckfoot Brewing Company.
I think so.
Off Miramar Road. It's about 2 miles from the station where we're at now.
If that.
Yeah, but Charlie Hiltz is over there, and I believe Vinny Barbarino from Corva.
Vinny came down.
Nice. Yeah, Vinny's there. I love. Charlie and Heidi, his wife, and Vinny. They're great people. It's good to go have a beer with them and check out Riggs and Brews.
So what are you guys doing for Christmas? Anything? I mean, for the community? You doing any kind of something out in the desert for Christmas or no?
No, we've partaken. Other clubs put on Toys for Tots and gotcha. Do the drives and that. So our club actually just piggybacks on top of them. Gotcha. Tierra del Sol did a big one collecting Toys for Tots and everything this year. Bo Niece went out and collected a lot of toys. Amy Vollmer is putting on the run. So we talked about this last weekend. And so I want to give a shout out again
the veterans
to Amy Vollmer.
Christmas Eve run.
So this is a military run. So for active and veteran, our military members, if you don't have family, you don't have somewhere to be or something to do, she's doing an off-road run. Takes about half the day. She has little goodie bags for each of the military members. And people that participate for it. If you don't have a 4x4, reach out to her anyway, and she can find you a seat to get into somebody's rig. There's usually anywhere from 20, 25, 50 vehicles out there that do this run.
Wow. I did it a couple years ago. It was fun.
Yeah, she gets anywhere from 50 to about 100 people out there to partake in it. So you can reach out to Amy Vollmer. The Facebook page is called Adventure in the Desert. It is the 4th annual Christmas Eve run. It will be on Christmas Eve. You can give her a call, 760-277-0883. You can find her on Facebook at Adventure in the Desert. Or reach out to her.
How about
you can
on
reach
the TDS
out to,
website?
It's on TDS as well. It's on their website. So Tierra del Sol 4x4 Club. You can reach out to us, info@sdorc.org, and we will, shoot you over the information for it. But
isn't Tierra del Sol right around the corner?
March. Yeah, the first weekend in March. So
oh,
I
the
think
event?
It's March
I don't even know if they're doing an
third.
Event this year.
Yeah, hey, Bo reached out for TV time.
Yeah.
Did he? Okay, so they're doing something. I'm not sure what they're doing.
Yeah, I'm not sure what they're doing. I don't know if they'll have a run again this year, but I'm pretty sure that they'll have the same setup that they had previously.
You know, I did that, the veterans run with Amy a couple years ago, and everybody got a swag bag. And my favorite thing was a beach towel with a picture of a Jeep on it.
Like, I still have don't even own a Jeep.
Like, how did you? I got a 4x. So it's not a Jeep. It's
Jeep
it's a
sponsored
Suzuki.
It. Yeah.
But Jeep.
Now, you'd have been really happy if she'd have put a Suzuki on.
Oh, that would have been.
I
wouldn't even use it.
You'd
would have it hanging up.
With it.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Little,
keep me warm.
Yeah, your little nighty.
Yeah. Well, that's a fun run, though. It's about a half day. It takes about 4 or 5 hours for you to do.
So it's not it doesn't take
no,
up a
I think
lot
they
of time.
Did Valley of the Moon before. They've done the Oriflame Trail before. They've done Superstition. So, yeah, I'm not sure where the trail is this year. And I'm sure I can get on Facebook and figure that out.
I'm sure you could.
Amy will be happy to tell you.
Yeah. Feel free to give her a call again. That's Amy Vollmer at Tierra del Sol 4x4 Club at 760-277-0883.
And it's really important that you folks, whether you're off-roaders or not, join these clubs. They're extremely inexpensive. Most of them are what, $20,
$25? $25 annual membership. And it pays for our lobbyist, pays for lawsuits that we have to get into.
And just boring stuff like insurance and storage.
Yeah, but you know what? If
travel
fees. Look at Tunnels to Tower.
Yeah.
Look how much money they raise with just $11 a month to help. They mortgage free homes for a lot of the first responders. One of the first responders that passes away.
Oh, wow.
I mean, there's a million things Tunnels to Tower does, and for $11 so a month. So just think what you can do for $25 a month.
Oh, yeah.
Or
a year.
I wish we could have money from every off-roader in San Diego County. If we had a dollar from each one, oh, my God. I could quit my job
insane?
And do this full time.
Yeah.
we could do amazing things.
No, because we wouldn't pay you that much.
Please. So there's other issues. Oceano Dunes is a big problem. There's a smaller problem that we're working on by Superstition Open Area. So Superstition is in, it's a mountain in Imperial County, more on the western side, and it's north of Highway 8, south of Ocotillo Wells.
Yeah.
And it borders on a bombing range that the El Centro Navy uses. And so you think Navy, it's only boats, ships, but they also have a lot of airplanes, and they need to practice. All the aircraft carriers have aircraft, and those are Navy pilots. So the Navy practices bombing out there, and they've had problems with people off-roading out there in the bombing range where they shouldn't be. And the problem is, so the Navy plans a bombing practice. So we're going to bring pilots in from far away. They're going to travel here. We're going to prepare the airplanes. We're going to put the ordnance on. Mm-hmm. We'll get everything ready to go. They take off and they're flying. They're ready to drop their bombs. Oh, wait, we can't drop them. There's somebody driving around.
But what if they did?
Well, most of the time.
You think people would go back out there again?
Well, a lot of, you know, we don't all talk to each other.
They're duds, right?
Sure, we'd blow those guys up. But then the next week and somebody else would come out.
Yeah, and you got to think about it. Most of the time, you know, they just have the flash bombs, right? Like, it's just basically like a dead. Like, it's just a thing for them to drop so they can see where it hits, right?
Bomb.
No. Well, that's what I was just going to say. You got to think about where this bombing range is. It is less than 2 miles or 3 miles from the Salton Sea.
Yeah.
And the Salton Sea in the 1920s, 30s, 40s, 50s, you know, you think of how many bombs were tested and dropped there. Right. Think of how many unspent munitions and ordnance are out there. I mean, we're talking thousands.
There could be stuff on the ground that
thousands
you don't know.
armed ordnance.
Right. So penalize everybody for the errors of a few.
Well,
it's their range, and they want to protect it. So they decided to put a fence around it. And we've been following this since last March.
Oh, yeah, how's that fence look?
So I saw the fence. There's a post every 10 feet, and there's 3 strands of smooth wire. So it's not barbed wire. It's smooth wire. And it goes for about five miles.
It's about
maybe 7 miles.
4 foot tall. I think four and a half foot
can
tall.
Can you see it?
So
is it bright?
It's not very visible, and that's
not
the problem.
Not until you're on it.
That's one of the reasons we're bringing this up today, is they have reflectors, so between posts, but every other they put a reflector.
So like
and the
every
reflector
20 feet.
Is about it's round. It's about 2 inch diameter, and it's about 2 inch tall.
Mm-hmm.
And then every other has reflective material. And every other doesn't have it. So it has a little metal bell, but no reflector. So about every 40 to 50 feet is a small reflector.
Mm.
Not very good. So after the fun run, I went over and looked at the fence, and I saw some people camped right by it. So I went over and I said, hey, can you guys see this fence at night? And so they started telling me, no, you can't see it. Somebody drove into it recently. It's kind of a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So I talked to the woman in charge, Mary. I forget her last name. She right. And I said, this fence is not very visible. Can you help us make it more visible by putting reflectors on it? So she said, let me go back and check. So she contacts me and says, we don't have any more money in the budget, but if you guys want to do something, we'll allow it. So I heard that, and I'm like, okay, we're on it. So I found some reflectors that I want to purchase, mm-hmm. and I'm putting together a grant request from Yamaha. I think Yamaha would be the right appropriate one.
Mm-hmm.
And their grant deadline is the 15th, so I have till Wednesday. So I'm working through all the stuff in the grant application, and I should be able to have it in on time. And I also was talking to a reflector company, and I said, well, what if we buy 5,000 reflectors? Can we get a better price? So I'm going to try to put all this together. We had a meeting last Tuesday for the San Diego Off-Road Coalition, and I brought up this, and I said, if we had reflectors and we had permission, how many people would like to come out and help us put reflectors on the fence? And like a whole bunch of hands went up, like a dozen hands.
It was more than that, yeah.
So yeah, 15, 20 people. I don't. Mm-hmm. A lot of people want to help. So that's kind of exciting. So I think I can get a grant. I think we can purchase a whole bunch of reflectors, and I think we could do it before the end of the season while the temperatures are still reasonable.
When I'd go out to the reflector folks and say, you know, what you're doing, you're going to buy 5,000 of them. But if you cut us a really sweet deal, we'll bring you down to KUSI TV. And because I would promote this,
that would be awesome.
And see how many people want to come out and help. I mean, it's not like you're serious off-roading. You're just putting reflectors up. And you know, you never know. For them to get that kind of a positive publicity, they may cut you even a better deal.
I'll use that when I speak to them.
Throw it in your proposal.
Because yeah. I am. I'll be talking to them tomorrow.
When you're out at Superstition, unless you know Superstition, unless you've downloaded the app and you see, or you have, you know, like Onyx Off-Road on, mm-hmm. or, you know, one of the other trail maps mm-hmm. on your
CTUC
phone.
CTUC or Avenza.
Where you open it up and you see. And unless you know, you don't have a clue that you're in the bombing range.
Right.
You know, you have, the trail doesn't, there. The signs are so old that have been there. Yeah.
And, before the
and
fence went up,
like
the signs were like 100
yards to,
far apart. Is, yeah, 100 yards. Somewhere knocked over.
All right. The red light district is now lit.
Oh.
We're going to have to take a
we
quick
got a break.
You're Nine listening Amsterdam, to S-T-O-R-C Dirt Radio, FM 96.1. AM 1170.
The Answer. And I let it burn up the pro star.
I was going to say you'd give him some chocolate, but you ate it all.
It's the best chocolate ever.
All right, folks. Welcome back to STORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1. AM 1170.
The Answer.
By the way, if you folks heard that little chocolate story, that's a company in Denver. And they actually, the husband makes the chocolate, and they were using the remnants of the chocolate to power a diesel-powered off-road vehicle. And they were in the Rebel, right?
Yeah, they were.
Did you go up and sniff the tailpipe?
I did not.
They
oh,
say,
I want to ride behind that.
No, they say it smells like chocolate.
That is hysterical.
I did not smell the vehicle.
But they say it does smell.
But they did sponsor, and I still have chocolate from the Rebel.
I'm sure you do, and it's good chocolate.
It's good chocolate.
That's a good gig to use that, the extra oil from making
the remnants.
And then turning it into diesel fuel.
Turn it into biofuel fuel.
And then using it to promote.
Off-road.
That's an awesome
Isn't
idea.
Isn't that a good idea?
Yeah.
Hey, KJ Termite and Pest Control, family owned and operated business with over 45 years of experience. Your family health and home are very important to KJ Termite and Pest Control. So if you want to help yourself, you need to give them a call at 619-441-7378. Audrey has used him, and she no longer has gorillas in her yard.
Gorillas.
Didn't you have gorillas running around here?
Subterranean termite swarm. Was that
like
kind of shaped like a gorilla for sure with a swarm?
Just small.
Not on your wood. Not on your wood. So, yeah. So, great, great company. Great sponsorship. Truly need to check them out.
Yes.
All right. This is your last.
Our last quadrant for a while.
Last quadrant. I like that.
So we talked about reflectors. We're working on that. That's something that I'm looking forward to making happen. I think that's going to be a lot of fun and will help people.
Well, I would think if you were to bring it to their attention, it's a safety issue. They should be able to go to another division of the government and get enough money out of that. To
You know, that's possible. Yeah. They could. And do you know how the government works? That, okay, we're going to put in a bid for next year's thing, and it could take 2 years before
they even get
and how many
and
people could
on there.
Crash into the fence between then and now, right. So they gave us permission, and I'm going, and that doesn't mean that they would actually come through. That means they might.
Is there any repercussions if you do go out in the bombing field and they catch you?
Oh yeah, they that's like a federal crime.
Okay,
yeah.
So is there a sign that says that?
Oh yes. Okay. Yeah, but like I said, they're like 50 years old, right. They're every 100 yards, you can't read it.
I don't remember signs on the fence. I rode the fence the whole length.
It has the old bombing signs have the penal code on it.
Yeah, you could get in trouble, and I don't know exactly how, but I wouldn't want to try to find out.
But the new fencing doesn't even have new signs. I didn't
they don't have
new
any,
signs
I don't see any
on
signs
any
on
it.
It.
It's just the fencing that goes
so
down
you need
and
to ask
it.
Them why that is.
So again, if maybe you don't know.
I don't think it's up to us to put signs on it. I think reflectors just to let us know. But they should let people know that, hey, you can't go in here. And the lady, Mary, told me that there was three breaks in the fence.
Yeah.
I don't know if people drove into it or if they cut it, but she said they had to repair three sections. And that fence hasn't been done that long. It's only been done not too many months.
Right.
So we're working on that. There's a couple other things I want to talk about. So the San Diego Adventure Riders are going to be putting on an event in the spring called the Mountain Dash for street legal off-road motorcycles. And it looks like it's going to end at Pio Pico Campground. I went out there yesterday and I met with the staff and they showed me an area we could use for like a group site. And it's really great. In fact, for SDRC, we might even want to look at it and think if we could do something there. So that they have an area. It's across the highway from the main park.
Right.
They have big trees.
And it's close. It's close.
It's right there. Yeah, it's close to San Diego, but it's right across the street from the campground. It's right. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way,
there's
the
no cell service
the thing. Gate is not locked to go up over Otay Mountain.
It's just closed.
It's not closed. It was wide open. I went up on my bike.
Great news.
I saw a Border Patrol go up, and I talked to the people at the campground. They said, we're not closing it, not right now. If we have to, if they force us to, we will. But right now, we're not closing it. So
what's the benefit of that?
Well, the guy from the BLM told me that the campground had closed it, and he had heard.
What's the benefit of you driving up there? I mean, it's just
it's fun.
Well, it's just a local trail, mm-hmm. You get up to the top of the mountain. It overlooks the bay, the southern part of the bay, Imperial mm-hmm. Beach. You look over. You look over Otay Lakes. You're looking at the Olympic Training Center.
Oh, okay, I know.
They're at brownfields right there. They have people that jump out of the parachute. So I love to watch the people right there. I watch the planes go up. They have like 3 planes an hour going and having skydivers. So I like to go up and have a little picnic up on top of Otay Mountain right there. But it's only
crazy.
if
jump
they
out
close
of a perfectly
that,
good airplane. What's
yeah,
wrong with
if they close that trail, which is like Wakamika.
Yeah, it's got a name.
Yeah, it's an Indian name. I forget the name of it.
But Otay Mountain Truck Trail.
Yeah,
is it wide enough for her to go up and come back without too much traffic?
It's a little hard for two Jeeps to pass each other. Somebody might have to back up to find a place wide enough.
Yeah.
And but it's a good, smooth road. Like, it's not a challenging road.
One of the things that I had suggested, because the Border Patrol had reached out, and the Border Patrol is asking the Bureau of Land Management to close the trail. Mm. They have a gate at the top of it, and the lower gate at the bottom of the trail is owned by the campground Pio Pico. Mm-hmm. But the Bureau of Land Management agreed with me. They've already got rid of... I mean, when I was a kid, I used to hunt those mountains with my dad, with the Humboldt Hunt Club. There used to be literally miles of trails between Lake Barrett, all the way up to Potrero, the backside of Del Zura, down in and through. You used to be able to go through all of that. They've closed the majority of everything due to the international travelers.
And environmental pressure from our
yeah, but I think
club
it has
types.
More to do with the travelers.
I think it has more to do with the Border Patrol and the travelers than anything else, and the trash that they would leave along the way, and destroying the, you know, because it's kind of bad in certain points of it. Mm-hmm. I lived out there
so many international travelers. There's a pretty big fence over there. Like, it's a hard fence to, you can't just hop that fence.
You'd be surprised.
I mean, they're very ingenious.
They are.
I mean, they have a rope ladder. I don't know what they
ingenious.
Do,
but the Border Patrol reached out and asked the Bureau of Land Management to shut it down for 6 months. Right now, you can go up and you can go into Del Zura, turn on Maroon Valley Road towards the South Bay Rod and Gun Club, go into the backside of it and go up into the trails there and go to the top of it, hit Dogwood Road, go up to the top of Otay, sit at the towers, look, you know, watch it. And then you can go back down and you can hit the, I want to call it Wayameka Trail, and that's the one that goes to the backside of Pio Pico and mm-hmm. down. So you can go up and over. But if you close that trail,
you can't.
And you have to go back out to Maroon Valley Road
and
go out that way and
that's
circle back
far
around.
East, yeah.
And the reason why they want to do that is because the border checkpoint is off of the 94, and then that will force everybody to go back through the border checkpoint.
Gotcha.
So that they can monitor you. Mm-hmm. But the Border Patrol is so ill-staffed right now that border checkpoint's been closed half the time anyway. Every time they have to go deal with somebody crossing, mm-hmm. they have to shut that down because they don't have the manpower.
Right.
So I don't know. It's a catch-22, in my opinion.
Sounds like it to me, too.
But I'm really glad to hear that Pio Pico had it open because that disappointed me.
I was happy, too. So I rode up at a couple hundred yards just to have a look, and a Border Patrol had driven up it. And I think for the convenience of Border Patrol, they would like to keep it open. They don't want to have to stop too. And get out and turn the key. But we'll see what happens. I'm still trying to officially keep it open. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of hard when Homeland Security, if they really have their mind on it, they're hard to change.
Oh yeah.
So the Adventure Riders, we're having a meeting this Wednesday night in Poway. So we're going to be discussing more details. And
good.
Maybe we'll be setting up a date.
And before we go, I want to throw a heartfelt prayers to all the folks in Kentucky and all the surrounding.
Oh, the tornadoes. Oh, it's
a horrible tornado.
I have never seen anything.
Across four states, 200 miles.
200 miles long,
oh my
mile
God.
Wide, and 200 miles an hour.
Wow.
I mean, the devastation and, you know, the lives lost. I mean, I was flabbergasted. I mean.
Yeah, me too.
It looks like a war zone. In fact, it reminded me of Japan when we dropped the A-bomb on Hiroshima. I mean, I've never seen anything like it in my life. And it's just insane. So I just wanted to throw that out to our hearts and prayers. Go to all the families associated with it. And hopefully, folks will go in there and do whatever they can to help these people, because it's colder than a well digger's big toe.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so scary.
Yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there before we got too deep.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
I know 2 minutes isn't long enough to talk about the other thing that I wanted to talk about, but one of the other things
who cares
I wanted
what Brendan says,
to talk about was the generators in California and what they're doing. So
the small engines
they're just eliminating
them. California Air Resources Board, you know, I talked about how they've got rid of the small engines. So you can't basically, that's your weed whacker, your lawnmower, your anything gas powered, your blower, any of that, you know. So
does that include generators for
camping?
That does.
So camping RVs and every single fifth wheel, every single motorhome, every single generator that is in a camping motorhome or RV trailer, fifth wheel, it doesn't matter what your model is, is now going to be banned in the state of California. The law
I'm buying
passed.
Stock in Coleman products. Coleman lanterns are coming back.
Yeah.
No oh, wow. I don't even know what to do with this.
I wonder if
California, you
want to
devastate yourself? Like how much, economy, how many people live in RVs? How many people stay in? How many people? So does that also mean that your backup generator for your home is
four
now?
Of them.
Yeah. Well, now it would be banned
can't
have that.
Before you say that, aren't you grandfathered in?
Well, the old ones were still okay to be out there. They just can't sell new ones after a certain point. I forget what the date is.
So it's another reason to leave the state of California.
Yep.
Pack your bags, folks.
All right.
San Diego Off-Road Coalition, SDORC.org. Become a member, $25. If we got to file a lawsuit for the small engine off-road.
Oh, my God.
It's on the way.
We need a generator exemption.
Yes.
SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The answer.
Get there, you gotta get a little mud on.
Thanks for joining us for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl, the program that is working to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. To learn more about SDORC and how you can get involved, visit SDORC.org. That's SDORC.org. Join us next week at this same time for more of the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles while protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. This has been San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio on The Answer San Diego.
This program is sponsored by Love Radio Network.